have some hope. Because he hadn't changed. Come on and bless the Lord one more time in this building. Thank you. Song say he won't leave you. Ah, yes, Lord. That's what the enemy want to make you think, that he'll leave you. That you're out here by yourself. That what you're going through is too difficult for the God that you serve. But I love him because nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with him. And what I love about it is that he's given us the evidence in the Word of God. As every time we see a difficult problem that presented itself, the children of Israel at the Red Sea, the children of Israel at Jordan, the woman with the issue of blood, the blind man sitting by the roadside, even the blind, even the lame man at the temple, we see that all their difficulty, all their situations and circumstances were dire. That they were at the point of no return. But when God showed up. And what I love about him is that he gives us an example in the Word, but he also makes it present in our life. All of us in here have experiences, some things in our life that seem dire, that seem like they could not change. But when we turn it over to God, God was able to flip that thing. Hallelujah. And if he did it before, he's able to do it again. Nothing is too hard for our God. Can I get a witness in the building? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Amen. We thank God for our praise team on today. Come on and give them a hand clap. Amen. Our band and all those that are serving here on today, we thank God for you. On today. Amen. Thank God for our First Lady on today. Amen. Amen. Do we have any guests in the building? If you have any guests, wave your hands to us. Any guests? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Glad to have you in this house. Amen. Any returning guests? Any returning? Returning. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Amen. Thank God for you being here on today. We don't take it lightly. We thank you for being in this place. Amen. At this time, we feel that it is a divine orchestration by God that you're here. I want you to grab your Bibles this morning and go with me into the book of the beginnings this morning. I want to park in one scripture this morning, Genesis 26 and 12. 26 and 12. 26 and 12. How many have been blessed by the series we've been in for the last couple of weeks? Amen. 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 It's a little challenging. Anytime you talk about resources, we know that we tend to cringe. But the truth of the matter is that God is trying to get us in a position so that he can release some things in our life. How many believe that on today? Amen. Amen. That you're not at the level that you're going to end. And God has got some more in store for you. So this morning, Genesis 26 and 12 reads, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Let me read that again. It says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold." Not only that, but it says, "And the Lord blessed him." As I make the final installment in our series on Luke, this morning I want to talk to you from the subject, "It Will Pay Off." It will pay off. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for all that you've done. Thank you for last night's lying down. Thank you, Father, for being able to wake up this morning with our life, health, and strength. Thank you for bringing us into this place, Father, to worship you and to honor you. this is the sanctuary. And we thank you for the sanctuary. A place of refuge, a place of hope. God, a place where we can be instructed in your word, empowered in our inward man to be able to leave here and face life situations. So, Father, we thank you for assembling us in your presence on today. And God, we just pray that your divine will be done. I pray that you would think through my mind and speak through my mouth what thus saith the Lord on today. I pray that David may decrease, that you may increase. Pray that you would touch the ears of the hearer. Give them ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, we bless your name. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you take your seats, look at two or three people and tell them it will pay off. It will pay off. It will pay off. Amen. My goal as pastor is to equip you, to inform you, and to inspire you in the things of God. My goal is to help you live out your Christian life to the fullest. My job is not to be jealous of you, envious of you. My job is not to hate on you. But as a pastor, my job is to see you pulled up and pulled out, so that you can enjoy everything that God has purposed and planned for your life. I want to see every area of your life blessed. I want to see you blessed spiritually. I want to see you blessed emotionally, mentally, financially, socially, every holistically. I want to see you living your best life. How many want to live your best life? And see, the Bible has a great deal to say when it comes to equipping and informing and inspiring you as it relates to Luke, which is the series that we've been entangled in for the last several weeks. And many people think that the church should be a place where you receive a handout. But I want to suggest to you this morning that not only should the church be a place where you receive a handout, but can I suggest it should be a place that you receive a hand up? Yeah. See, because the problem with a handout is that it's much easier to receive than a hand up. Because hand up implies that you got to do something. A handout replies all you have to do is receive. But the truth of the matter is that you shouldn't just only want to fish, you should want to know how to fish. Because the truth of the matter is that by you knowing how to fish, you might be able to catch more fish than I can really give you, or that the church can give you. So we ought to have a desire in ourselves, a desire to bring change to our life, not just resting and settling in just receiving something. And one thing about the Bible is that it doesn't change. Whether we agree about it or not, it doesn't change. It was here before we got here, and it's going to be here when we leave. It's been tested. And it's been tried. So it does not change. No matter what we debate, no matter how we, there may be some differences. The only thing that is right is the word of God. God's word is true. It's everlasting. And I think that we have to understand that no matter how we debate it, whatever God's word says, when we settle on it, it positions us to truly live out the life that God has destined for us. So just like the word of God doesn't change, there are other things in life that don't change either. See, the universe is made up of laws, laws that govern the universe, laws like the law of gravity. Understand, it governs the universe. Simply put, defined, the law of gravity is what goes up must come down. Yeah, oftentimes during celebrations, people are warned not to go out and shoot their guns up in the air, because if the bullet goes up, it's coming down somewhere. So it can cause some damage. So we have to understand that life is really, God has established some things that cannot change. They are immutable. No matter how we think, no matter how we come up with a different revelation, the truth of the matter is that God has established some things that cannot be changed. Such is also the law of cause and effect. This law states that for every cause, there is an effect. Clap your hands for me just for a minute. Yeah. You've just participated in the law of cause and effect. Because when you clap your hands, understand molecules and air and stuff around your hands begin to move because you clap them. Better yet, if you're applying for a job, you have positioned yourself for the potential of that position, which means that you have participated in the law of cause and effect. Because you can't get a job unless you apply. So no matter how many people say they want a job, if you've not filled out the application, understand, you've not participated in the law of cause and effect. So there's no expectation of getting a job. So just like there are natural laws that govern the universe, there are spiritual laws that govern the kingdom of God. Laws that, if we choose to live by them, will allow us to enjoy a fuller and a brighter Christian life. And I don't know about you, but I want to enjoy a brighter and a fuller Christian life. I want to get everything out of this walk that God has purposed and destined for me. I often say I want to go to the grave on E. Yeah, I want to have enjoyed everything. I want to have tapped into everything. And God has given us in his word laws. Laws that if we apply them, positions us for the harvest. One such law is the law of sowing and reaping. We see this law in operation in our text this morning. We see here that the text specifically refers to Isaac and no one else. Isaac. Isaac has been informed, he's been inspired, and he's now making applicable what he has taken in. And the Bible tells us that in Genesis 1, matter of fact, if we back up, it tells us that there is something critical that has taken place. Critical. It tells us that there was a famine in the land. And besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the text tells us that as he goes, he does something that nobody else does. He's been informed and he's been inspired. He's received revelation and he's begun to put it into action. And because he puts it into action, something happens. Yeah, the text tells us that there's a famine going on. This is not the first famine. This is the second famine. The first famine happened up under his father Abraham. We see this. And now he has experienced or is experiencing this famine. He's walking into it. And during this famine, the text tells us that Isaac flees to Gerar, which is was the borderland between Canaan and Egypt. Yeah, I could deal with that. God tells him not to go to Egypt. Yeah, gives him specific instructions. to follow, because it's amazing that if we go outside of the will of God and try to do things, it will not yield the same harvest as doing it in the will of God. So he takes that, he understands that, he receives that, and he goes no far than Gerar. And it's important to note that while everyone else is experiencing the result of famine, Isaac was not. Reminds me of the psalmist who said in Psalms 91 and 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, but 10,000 at thy right hand, but it won't come near you. Because we serve a God that when you're his and you're walking in his will, understand he will protect you in the midst of calamity. Yeah, I know I got some witnesses in here because, you know, you've gone through some things. You've seen some terrible conditions around you. But when you look at your situation, you see that it was only God that had brought you through. Because he'll do that. He will protect those that are his. Yeah, the text tells us, 12 and 13 says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper and continue prospering until he became very prosperous. Yeah, because he sowed, he was able to reap. Yeah, see, one of the problems today is that we want to reap where we have not sown. It's amazing. Yeah, we want to see harvest where we've not sown into it. We want to experience something that we've not participated in. Yeah, so the first thing I want to tell you this morning is you can't reap where you have not sown. Yeah. I mean, it's impossible to reap where you've not sown. No farmer expects to go out on his land and reap something that he's not participated in. Yeah, I mean, if he's not planting any wheat, he can't expect wheat to come up. He's not planting any cucumber seeds, no pumpkin seeds. He can't expect that when he goes out to receive that harvest. Yeah. Yeah, he'd be only wasting his time. Yeah, and oftentimes we get caught up wasting our time because we're not participating in what God has called us to participate in, but yet we still want to harvest. We still want to reap where we have not sown. Yeah. Let me go even further to say that, you know, you can't have a good marriage if you're not willing to sow something good in that marriage. Yeah, I want to pause right here and thank all of those that participated in our Wednesday night couples Zoom. I want to thank you for participating because what that shows is that you're sowing, yeah, into your marriage. You're sowing into it because you want it to flourish. You want to have a good marriage. You can't expect a good marriage if you're not putting anything good in. Yeah. I mean, you can't expect to be a good single if you're not putting some good things in. Let me pause right here and just recognize and thank all of those singles that participated in Wednesday night. Yeah, single Zoom. Because you're showing, you're digging, you're showing that you want to sow into being a good single. You want you want to be informed, you want to be empowered so that you can live this life like God intended you to live it, that you can get everything out of the singleness that God has for you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, see, you can't expect to receive love if you're not willing to sow some love. I mean, you can't expect to receive kindness if you're not willing to sow some kindness. You can't expect to receive compassion, yeah, if you're not sowing some compassion. Yeah, that's the law of sowing and reaping. See, because harvest is a direct result of what you sow. There's an old saying, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So if you're not giving anything, if you're not being participatory in what you want to reap, it's impossible to get that out of it because, you're not taking the time to invest anything in it. The text tells us that Isaac sowed and Isaac responded to a situation. See, God presents an opportunity. And how we respond is critical. All of us in here, no matter what the situation is, are presented with opportunities every day of our life. These opportunities, how we respond to them determines how we're going to reap from them. And if we don't respond correctly, we can't expect to reap correctly. Yeah, oftentimes, how you respond determines your outcome. Yeah. last week, I thought about this. Last week, I was making that cake up here, and that cake had some anointing on it. It was good. I took that cake home, and I worked on it a little bit. It was good. I said I'm gonna have to keep on making some cakes up under the anointing because, but nevertheless, understand that. There has to be when we expect to reap something, there has to be some investment in it, and how we respond is critical. I mean, if somebody right now said that they were going to make you something, they were going to make you some barbecue ribs, how you respond is critical. Yeah. Because if you don't respond by going and picking them up, you'll never enjoy those ribs that were labored just for you. So response is critical. God is looking for response because response positions you so that God can release what he wants to do in your life. And Isaac responded to the famine by sowing. And because he sowed, he reaped. In fact, the text tells us that he reaped in the same year 100-fold. Somebody says same year. Same year, same year. We have to position ourselves for the miracle that God wants to do in our lives. If we never position ourselves, understand, we never put ourselves in position. Yeah, because Isaac worked the spiritual law. He worked the principle. He reaped a spiritual return. How can I say it was a spiritual return? Because help me to understand, where is there a place that you can go and sow and receive 100-fold? First Citizen? UCB? Fidelity? Y'all come on, y'all help me. Is there a place that we can go in the natural and receive 100-fold on our return? But in the spiritual, because we serve a supernatural God. God is able to put super on our natural, and we can see God manifested before our very eyes. See, the problem or the issue is, God has a way of bringing exponential growth or return. I mean, we see this throughout the Bible. He's that kind of God. He's an exponential God. He's a God that doesn't just give us back what we give unto him. I mean, we see it in the Bible. We see it in Genesis 4 and 27. We see it. It says, so Isaac dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly. The phrase exceedingly has to do with exponential growth. So God calls Israel to grow exponentially. We see that in the New Testament. We see it in Matthew. We see it in Matthew 14 and 17 and 21. It says, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they answered, bring them here to me. And he said, being Jesus, and as he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up, listen to this, 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. Now, the text tells us he had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, but yet they picked up leftovers that were 12 baskets full. Now, help me to understand the mathematics there. I mean, this is exponential growth, because that's the kind of God that we serve, that when we position ourselves, he has the ability to do what we cannot do in our own ability. That's what I love about God. See, because I understand who I am. I understand my weaknesses. I understand my failures. But I thank God that I serve a God that has no failure. He is complete. He's whole. Nothing is infallible. Nothing is infallible about our God. When we sow into the kingdom of God, understand, God is not looking to give back the same amount that we sowed. God wants to multiply your seed. He wants to multiply it. I mean, Matthew 13 and 8 tells us, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Where are we going to get that type of return other than in the kingdom of God? He says 100, or 60, or 30-fold. Can I suggest that the goal of the enemy is keeping us from tapping into what God has decreed and declared in his word? He's trying to keep us from activating that law that God has promised in his word, because after all, God's word is true. And he said, let every man be a liar. He says, my heaven and earth will pass away before my word return back void unto me. He says, I spoke it and it's settled. That's what I love about God. See, not only did Isaac get a hundredfold return, but the text tells us that he began to prosper and continue prospering until he became very prosperous. His sowing started something. His sowing started to put him in a position so that God can release what he wants to release in his life. If he'd have never began to sow, he'd have never got in position. I did tell you that the text tells us that he was the only one that did this. And because of this, he reaped the harvest. When everybody else was going through their issues, when everybody else was wondering where they were going to get bread from, when everybody else was wondering where their resources were going to come from, because he had positioned himself, that he didn't have to worry about those particular things. Can I tell you that that's the way God want to get us? He want to get us in a position so that some things we don't have to worry about. I told you last week that God didn't want us continually coming and petitioning him for resources. That God doesn't want us to continue to come to him, petitioning him to pay a light bill and a car payment and a phone bill. The devil is a lie. That God is trying to position us so those things we don't have to worry about, that we can be in a position so that he can release what he wants to release in our lives, so that we can be a blessing to those around us. He says, see, sowing, sowing is different from tithing. When you believe God is the source of everything, so you'll honor him and give back to him the tenth. Yeah, because the tenth belonged to him. Moses, so the tenth is holy. It's God's. But when it comes to sowing, understand, when you sow, understand, you are positioning yourself for the future. When a farmer sows, he's positioning himself for the future. Because what he sows, he can't see then. What he sows, he can't reap then. But lo and behold, when the rains fall, when the sun come out, understand, the seed begins to germinate. And then lo and behold, at harvest time, he's able to reap what he sowed. He has prepared for the future.
And that's what God is trying to get us to do in our lives, that when we sow, we are not preparing for now, but we are preparing for the future. See, some of us in here are reaping right now only because we sowed last year. Y'all ain't gonna help me this morning. I understand that where I am right now is not a result of what I'm doing now. It's a result of what I've sowed. And when you understand that, the more you will position yourself to sow because you want to continue harvest. I'm getting ahead of myself. But the second thing I want to tell you is what you sow, you will reap. Yeah, what you sow, you will reap. I mean, this is the principle that has been set up from the beginning. I didn't have anything to do with it. I know people try to get on the pastor and the preacher, but this text was here long before I got here. My job is to teach the text. My job is to preach the text. My job is to inform you and empower you and equip you so that you can work the text. It was here from the beginning. Genesis 8 and 22. Look what the text says. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. He says, as long as this cycle is existing, understand, you can count on it. Just like it's cold outside, you know, we say, I can't wait till it get warm. Why do you say that? Because you understand that's going to happen. You understand that it has been set and established and can't be retracted. That if we got winter, fall is coming, or spring is coming. If we got spring, summer is coming. If we got summer, winter is coming. You believe that. How do I know you believe that? Because if I go to look in your closet, you got clothes for each season. You believe that. It's been established. So God said, just like those things have been established, so has seed time and harvest. So planting seed, then harvesting the crop. So as long as the earth exists, this is the way things work on the earth. And this is true in the spiritual realm as well as in the physical realm. So if you're merciful to others, guess what? You're going to receive some mercy. And I don't know about you, but every now and then I need some mercy. I need some mercy. So if I need some, I gotta expect to give some. If I want love and respect, then that means I gotta give some love and respect. I can't be hateful. I can't be treacherous. Because guess what? If I am, I'm gonna get the same thing. And then we get upset when it comes. But you sowed it, so you're gonna reap it. So we can't get mad and upset with what comes. It's a result of what we sow. I mean, this is critical. This is the criticality of sowing and reaping right. Yeah, in every area of your life. The Apostle Paul tells us something critical in 6 and 7 of Galatians. He's talking to the Galatians, and look what he tells us. He says, do not be deceived. He says, God is not mocked. He said, whatsoever a man soweth, that he will also reap. He says, do not be deceived. Planeo is the Greek, planeo. And this, understand, this is a command that is preceded by a negative. It literally means to wander and so to go or be led astray. So the text is telling us to don't wander off the path. Don't allow people, don't allow circumstances, don't allow things to call you to wander off the path, to be led astray. Don't let anybody talk you out of what God has established in his word. Yeah. Don't be deceived. Because the truth of the matter is that we're living in a day and time where people want to change the word of God. The Bible said that people will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Because truth of the matter is that everything that you desire, you can find it out here in the world. You can find somebody preaching what your flesh like. Yeah, y'all ain't gonna help me. But I don't need what's gonna please my flesh. I got one clap. I need what's going to satisfy my soul, because it's my soul that is going to have an eternal resting place, not my flesh, but my soul. So every now and then, I need something to come against my flesh. I need something to make me say, ouch. I need something to bring me back to reality. Because there are a lot of influences out here that speak contrary to the word of God. And every now and then I need to get back on the right path. So the text says, do not be deceived. He says, God is not mocked. Mocked. Ooh. Monte rizzo. Ooh, yeah. It literally means to turn one's nose up at. It means not to take seriously. It means to treat with contempt. So Paul is telling these Galatians that God has given us his word. And he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Don't turn your nose up at what God has declared. I know you say, well, I don't do that. But do we? Yeah, do we turn our nose up at what God has said? We turn our nose up when we don't agree with what God has said. When we are unwilling to stay on the path by which God has spoken in his word, it is though we are turning our nose up at God. And the foolishness of this is that turning one's nose up at God doesn't alter the immutability of the law of sowing and reaping. That no matter whether I disagree or not, that what God has already said is immutable. Immutable in the sense that it means not subject or susceptible to change or variation in form or quality or nature. It's like this man, this man that doesn't believe in the law of gravity. He goes up to a 16-story building. He jumps out of the window. He doesn't believe in the law of gravity. By the time he gets about to the eighth level, he still doesn't agree in the law of gravity and says, well, nothing has happened to me yet. I would say just wait on it. And see, that's what happens. That when we don't agree with God and when we don't align with God, what we think really doesn't matter, because if you just wait long enough, you'll see that God's word is true. And every man a liar. Can I get a witness in the building? Some of us in here have experienced that in our life. We didn't believe God's word, but every now and then, God has a way of proving himself. It may not come when you think it's going to come, but it'll come. Yeah, and that's one thing about God. You see, he doesn't often chastise us exactly when we do a thing. Yeah, I used to hate my mother. Not hate in the sense of hate, but I didn't like the fact that, you know, I'd get in trouble and you think that you got by. You know, it'll go a day or two. She just didn't whoop me because she didn't have time then. She had a few other things she had to take care of. Yeah, but lo and behold, you get in the bed and, you think you're going to sleep and, everything kosher. And all of a sudden you hear that dope. The lights turn on and you playing like you sleep. But you hear the rattling of that belt. She's coming to give you what you have reaped. And my mother, I know the day children get whooped with their clothes on. But my mama didn't whoop with her clothes on, or my clothes on. You had to strip. And nothing's worse than leather on flesh. Y'all ain't gonna help me. I got any witnesses in here? I know we don't do that today. I know we got time out and all these other things. But at some point of time, I had to reap what I sowed. That's what Paul is telling these Galatians. That's what I'm trying to help us understand today, that when we sow right, we'll reap right. Because we can't get by off of what God has said in his word. It's immutable. We can't change it. No matter how we agree with it or not, no matter how we feel about it or not, we can debate it, but it still doesn't change the word of God. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he will reap. Whatsoever. So it's not only money. It's every area of our life. Every area of your life. You are sowing daily, or we are sowing daily in our life. We're sowing daily. When we get up in the morning, when we go to work, how we act, what we say, what we think, all these things, our deeds, our actions, our words. And we need to be asking, what are we sowing in each one of these areas? What are we sowing? Everything you're doing, every good or every bad deed is a form of sowing. It's quiet. Y'all been quiet this series. I like that. Y'all thank you. He says, whatsoever a man soweth. Whatever. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. The caution of our life to make sure that we're sowing right, that we're doing those things that are pleasing unto God. He says, souls. Yeah, sparrow. Sparrow is the Greek. It literally means to scatter. What are you scattering throughout your day? What are you scattering in your family? What are you scattering in the workplace? Matter of fact, if you go back to verse 6, Paul literally says that you ought to truly appreciate the teacher who teaches you this, because it's going to make a tremendous difference in your life. See, this is an unbreakable promise, an immutable principle of God's order. And when it's immutable, it means that you can't go over it, you can't go under it, you can't go around it. It's a fact that God has established in the world. So if you're going to reap a harvest in your life, you're going to have to learn how to sow. Y'all with me this morning? He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he also reaps. The rizzo, time of harvest. It conveys the picture of cutting ripe grain and gathering the bundles together. He says, if you sow it, you will reap it. No doubt about it. It's sure. It's going to happen. He says, if you do it, if you do what God has said in his word, God said that he would come through. And I don't know about you, but I want to reap a harvest that God has destined and planned for my life. I want to reap it. So if you're going to reap it, understand, you're going to have to sow it. That means you're going to have to not spend everything that comes in. If you want to sow resources into God's kingdom, if you want to reap resources, then you got to have something to sow. I mean, if you're going to have, it means that you're going to have to take some of what you have left after your tithe and sow it. It says seed, time, and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. Sow the seed, wait on time, and a harvest will come. See, because the seed doesn't automatically germinate. That means we got to wait on it. And see, sometimes the problem is in the wait. Waiting for it to manifest. But what I love about God, when you believe God's word, you understand that it's going to happen. All I got to do is rest in his promises and know that he's a God that cannot lie. And because I believe that, I have an expectation that I'm going to reap a harvest. I just want to know if anybody have an expectation that you're going to reap a harvest. Matter of fact, I walk around with expectation. I walk around with expectation that God's harvest is coming my way. Why? Because I sow. And when you sow, you can have that expectation and believe that somewhere down the line, God is going to drop something in and on your life as a result of what you have sown. And that's the expectation that we got to have. I'm just about done. Got to have. And see, the more often we sow, the more it will come up over time. I mean, this is really what 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says. It said, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. See, I know we often look at that and we think about the quantity, but I want to suggest that it's the consistency. That in the consistency is where we will yield a consistent harvest. If I consistently plant seed, I will consistently reap harvest. A consistency. In other words, we'll find God blessing us back to back, over and over, because of our consistency in what we're doing. So if we do it sparingly, we can't expect to reap, but sparingly. Y'all with me? So if we want a perpetual cycle, then we have to have a perpetual sowing. And that's how God begins to release in our life. I mean, just like God blessed Isaac, understand, he'll do the same thing in our life. Because he tells us that he has no respect of a person. If God did that in Isaac's life, he'll do it in your life. If he did it in your neighbor's life, understand, he'll do it in your life. Because he's just that kind of a God. And I'm closing. And see, the job, my job as pastor is to get you in a position to receive what God has for you. And God's got a blessing waiting to be released in your life. And I don't know about you, but I need the blessings. I need what God has prepared for me. I need him to release those things into my life. So I got to make sure that I'm in the position so that God can do those things. I keep telling you that 2020 is going to be a year of escalation, elevation, and exposure. But it comes with us having to do something. It's just not going to come because we say it. Whatsoever we sow, that we're going to reap. And what I love about the text, it says that in the same year, Isaac sowed that he reaped 100-fold. That God has the supernatural ability to provide what we need
in the year that we need it. And I don't know about you, but there's some things I need in 2024. Anybody need some things in 2024? Glory to God. And God said, I will release what you need, but I need you in principle. I told you, God works in principles. God has established laws in his word that if we work them, then he will manifest those things in our life. If we're outside of his will, it's going to be difficult for God to manifest his goodness because he needs us on the right path. And principles keep us on the right path. Come on and rest on your feet on today. Not only do we look at sowing and reaping when it comes to finances, when it comes to love, when it comes to mercy, but it also when it comes to sin in our life. He said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever. So in our life, if we're sowing sin, understand, we can't help but reap. If we're sowing to the flesh, the Bible tells us that we're going to reap corruption. So we can't get mad at nobody else when our life is not going right. We can't blame it on this person or that person. It's the person in the mirror. And God said, today I can change that. I can change your life. I don't want to get myself out of a position for a miracle. Because that's what God does. He does supernatural things in our life when we're able to put ourselves in a position for him to release. It's offering time at Faith City Church. Amen. And I want to thank God as our financial team comes, as you prepare your givings. You see multiple ways to give here at Faith. I want to thank God for all of our liberal givers here at Faith. Thank God for you and your commitment. Many of you last week filled out the generosity card, and I want to thank God for everybody that did. Amen. And if today you wasn't here and you want to fill that card out, you can. You raise your hand and we'll make sure the ushers will get that card. I see she's passing out a couple cards. Amen. I see a hand over here. Thank God for everybody that did on last week. Help us gauge the givings here at Faith City. Because one of the things, we want to be faithful in what God has given us. We want to be good stewards. Because God has got some work for us to do in the kingdom. And how many know it's going to take resources to do it? Amen. So again, I want to thank God for everybody that filled it out. Amen. And as you fill it out, make sure you check a box. We had some people that they just wrote their name and then check a box. Check a box. Amen. Be honest where you are. Thank God for everybody that came out today. Thank God. Let's say we give our guests a hand clap one more time. Thank God for our guests being here in faith. Come on. Father, we thank you today for what you've done in this place. Thank you that you brought us into this place where we can worship you and we can honor you for being such a great God that you are. And God, we thank you for your word, how you desire to position us so that you can release more into our hands, more into our life. And Father, I pray that we would take in your word and we would make it applicable in our life. God, that we would realize that no matter what we think, your word is sure and your word won't return to your void. So God, I pray that we would put your word in action, that we would work these principles of your word, that we may receive what you have purposed and planned for our life. We thank you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Amen again. Amen to God's glory. Amen. Have a blessed week on purpose.